resurrected king is resurrecting me. I don't know about you guys, but that is so encouraging. To know that there is a God who is alive. There's a God who loves us. There's a God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die. And there's so much love in that, and there's so much faith behind that. There's a God who took our broken and our weary souls and has lifted them up and has not just re-energized them. It's not just like you were on the ground and that he just kind of helped you up. No, it's we were dead. We were dead in our sin, and we are now saved and resurrected in Christ Jesus. Oh, man, I love that. I love that joy that it brings. There's so much life in it. And so I'll start the story out. A few months ago, I had coffee with a very dear friend of mine, and as we were praying about direction over my life, she stops praying and looks at me and says, "I don't know what it is, but I just heard the words Lion of Judah, and I'm not sure how it relates or how it's gonna be involved in your life, but I just know that God is going to use that in order to show you where you're going, in order to set your calling, in order to let you know that you're on the right path, that you're doing good work." And so flash forward to last week, I end up going to a worship event in East Liberty and meet up with an incredible group of people who are just on fire for the Lord and are ready to start doing ministry down at the point of Pittsburgh. And a large group of us had a vision together that it's going to be our city again. And we're going to take the city over, that God has a battle in the city, and the city is looking for a revival. City of Pittsburgh is so ready for Jesus. And as we were down there, I got this calling on my heart that on Friday nights, I'm going to be starting up a street ministry team in the north side. And this past Friday night, we ended up taking it to the point to kind of kick things off. And as we were down there, we met this a ton of incredible people, and we met this guitar player named Dominic. And he invited us to a show. He played for us a little bit, and he invited us to a show last night that when I arrived, you could just feel the energy in the room. You could feel the life in the way this man plays, the spirit in his heart, that you can just feel it as he plays. And so I spent the evening in a bar in the north side, which, being at a bar 11 o'clock in the north side, is usually not the way that a ministry story starts. But as the group friends I was with, as we were talking to people and we were having a wonderful night of ministry, I end up sharing my testimony with a man named Daniel. And as I'm talking to him about all the things that have gone on in my life and how Jesus has really just touched my life so much and has done incredible work, he ends up, it resonates with him so well, and then he ends up going to sit down. And then as he goes to take a seat, I watch him, and he walks over this way. And as I turn around, this is hanging on the wall. Quite possibly the most literal interpretation of the Lion of Judah I could possibly think of. I love that so much that it hit me. I nearly dropped. But God does incredible work, and God lets you know when you're on the right path. And it is so encouraging to know that there's a God who's alive, and there's a God who's working in our lives. Every day, every second, every minute of our lives, there's a God who loves us and is ready to show us and ready to work with us. And I'm so blessed to be able to use that and be able to do that in his ministry. So, Father, I thank you for this day. Father, I thank you that you are not just a creator God who set this machine in motion and then walked away hoping that things would work themselves out. No, that you are a God who is present. You are a God who likes to make himself known. You are a jealous God, and our hearts and our minds should be focused on you, because you are all we will ever need. You are all we could ever want or hope for. Father, we thank you for every single moment that we've seen you in our lives, and we thank you for the moments you're going to act, because we know that you are not finished in this city. We know that you're not finished within this church, and you're not finished in our hearts and in our lives, God. You are going to do incredible work through this ministry, through the church, through your one body, one heart, one soul, together as Christians, as we love you and we go grow closer to you. Father, I bless this day, and I bless the hearts in this room that hearts would be open, that ears would be open, that minds would be ready to hear your word and to receive it. And all this, I thank you. In your name, amen. So this time, have a time of meeting and greeting and tell people you love them.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? Good morning, good morning. My name is Samuel. Thank you, Pastor Chris, for letting me come here. I was here last year. It was a blast. Thank you for having me back. Thank you very much. You all are so kind. And as you can tell by now, there's something wrong with my accent. Huh? Where did you find him, Pastor Chris? No, I'm from Sweden. I'm from Europe, far up north there, and lived here in the States the last, 5 years. Before that, I lived in India. Before that, I lived in Africa. Before that, I was in Sweden. Born and raised in Sweden, but been living all over the place. I'm a simple guy. I love Jesus. Love Jesus. Jesus saved my life. Huh? Isn't that wonderful, huh? His grace took hold of me, and I'm a new person because of that. Also, I came here because, you know, my wife, she's from here. She's actually from Youngstown, Ohio. So I have an American wife. What a combination, huh? Ay, ay, ay. Sweden and American. That's good stuff. So we've been married almost 9 years. We have a daughter. She's 5 years old. And then there's another one coming here in a few months. So that's fun. But we work, just like Pastor Chris said, we work as missionaries. So we travel all over the world teaching people and preaching about Jesus Christ. And we mainly go to places where they've never, ever heard about Jesus Christ. So just a few weeks ago, I came home from North India, which is the most unreached place in the whole world. Less than half a percent of the people living up in North India knows Jesus or have ever heard the name of Jesus. So that's a wonderful place for us to go to and tell them of the good news. But today I'm happy to be here in Sitterich, Swissville. I'm always having a hard time pronouncing this city. I should come here often. Swissville, something like that. There's too many. It's good to be here. I love to be here anyway. But today I wanted to share a little bit about Jesus Christ. Is that okay? And his encounters with different people and how what we can learn from him. And this has actually been one of my favorite messages. I've been sharing it before once or twice. But as I was praying for this morning, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, led me to share about this. So I have a message called Come Follow Me. Okay, and isn't that what Jesus said the first time? Do you remember that? Can I ask you a few questions? You all know these answers, but let me just throw them out there. Does anyone remember what the last words was from Jesus' lips before he departed up to his Father? Do you remember? Jesus said something, go out and go out and make disciples of all men. Do you guys remember that? That was the last words Jesus ever said on this planet before he left for his Father. Go out and make disciples of men. I love that. Then go back, you know, 3.5 years earlier. What was the first words that Jesus ever said when he had stepped out into ministry, into his calling? It was when he was talking to the fisherman that was named Peter. Do you guys remember what he said? He said, come follow me and I will make you fisher of men. Can you see it? So there's something about those last words that Jesus said and the first words that Jesus ever said that are so amazing. And it has something, it's a great significance. Can you see it? The first thing Jesus said was talking about disciples, making disciples. The last thing Jesus said was make disciples, okay? So we're going to read here from Mark chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. I've already kind of quoted that, but here it is anyway in the scriptures. This is what Jesus said. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. I love that. I love that. And let me just tell you a couple of things here from the beginning. There is something about sharing the name of Jesus and going out and sharing the good news that you have received, it will do something in you. Okay? Not only will it make some, you know, will it produce something in that person that you're sharing it with, but it will produce something in you. Okay? So listen here. This morning, you will not walk away from this place condemned because the guest preacher that was there here this morning, he had a whip and told you, if you are a real Christian, if you go out every day and just tell people to follow Jesus, and if you don't do that, don't claim yourself to be a Christian. No, that's not what I'm doing today. I'm going to set you free, okay? Free from guilt and shame, because the Word of God says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's who you are. And that's who I am. I'm in Christ Jesus, okay? But what I want to do today is I want to encourage you to follow Jesus in the way that He wanted us to follow Him, because He knows best. Can I have an amen in church? He knows a little bit more than I do. Can you see? So if He says something, there must be a purpose of that. And Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Why did He say that? And why did He kind of challenge us a little bit to share what we have received freely? Because there is something powerful about sharing the gospel. Okay, can I read a couple of more scriptures to you? Listen what it says in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Check this out. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. And now listen to this. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. There's something powerful about that. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And then I have another scripture here, a few verses further. In verse 30 it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Okay? I want to be a wise person. Okay? I want the wisdom of God. And God actually says there's something about sharing what you have received. And when you share it to someone else, you will see how not only they benefit, but you yourself will benefit from it. Okay, let me give you another Jesus story. You all remember John chapter 4, okay? If you don't, let me just refresh it very quickly. Jesus is meeting with this woman at the well, okay? By the way, Jesus was in a place at that time that everyone thought he should not be. Okay, he was in a place called Samaria where no one should go. That's what the people thought about that place. They are bad people there. We don't like them. They don't deserve anything. And it seems like when Jesus heard those words, something was triggered in him. He said, then I have to go there. It's always like that. That's why I love Jesus so much. People tell him, you know what? It's not okay for people to go there. So don't go there. That's where I want to go. That's how Jesus is. So he found himself in this place with this woman, starting to ministering to this woman. And Jesus' disciples and friends, they were super nervous because they didn't want to be there because they knew that everyone would talk about them. So the disciples did what they always did. You know, weird stuff. Always they did weird stuff around Jesus. And the disciples said, let's just go and shop for groceries for Jesus. I don't know what else to do. So they went away while Jesus stayed there cool and started to talk to this lady. And this lady, she was a little bit confused about why Jesus wanted to talk to her, because that was not allowed in this culture. And Jesus didn't care at all. And Jesus started to ask questions, and they share, you know, they started a conversation and all these things. And Jesus kind of revealed to this lady who he was and what he wanted for her life. And the more they talked, the more this lady realized that this man is a holy man. He's the son of God. He's the one that I've heard about will come. And all of a sudden, she just breaks down because he's such a powerful person. And he seems to know everything about her, but in a way that no one else is, because he's not condemning her. She's not feeling like this man is trying to get her, but something else is coming out of him. It's love. So she just shares her whole story. And then Jesus, you know, resurrects her. That we sang about earlier. He's resurrecting this lady, forgives her, and sends her off full of joy. And she runs into the village and gets everyone to come back. And she's saying, I think this man is that one that we've all been waiting for, the Son of God, because he's amazing. You just need to come and listen to him. As that lady is away getting the other people in the village, his disciples are coming back. Okay, now the disciples are like coming with big grocery bags, like, Jesus, we have lunch, let's get out of here. We're not supposed to be here. We're holy people. Don't let anyone see us. Let's get out of here. Then Jesus says one of my favorite sentences in the whole Bible. He says, I've already eaten. You don't know what I'm talking about, but I've already eaten. And I can see Peter in front of me. What are you saying, Jesus? There's no food around here. No one sells hot dog anywhere close to this place. There's nothing to eat. Where did you get food? We had to run for 30 minutes to get all these nice stuff for you. Where did you find stuff? And Jesus says, well, I have food that you know nothing about. Peter goes, obviously. Do you know what Jesus meant by that? I love it. Jesus needed to eat just like you and I need to eat. But what was his food? What was it that he needed to do so he didn't starve to death? What was it that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the creator of us, what was it he needed to do so he didn't starve to death? He needed to eat. And what was his food? His food was to share the good news. I'm just telling you, if Jesus needed to eat and that was his food, there's something good about that food that we need to get hold of today. Okay? I'm telling you, not only the one you share your testimony to will prosper, will feel refreshed, but you yourself will feel refreshed when you do it, because there is power in the gospel. Okay, if you truly want to benefit from the gospel and experience the true gospel, you can only be a receiver, because then not the full gospel comes into play. It is actually when you start to share it, even though you don't feel perfect. Welcome to the club, by the way. Even if you don't have it all together, welcome to the club, by the way. It is when you actually turn it around in your life and you start to share it to someone else. All of a sudden, the gospel comes alive, because that is what the gospel was meant to be, coming in and going out. Can you see it? So here, before I end and before we pray together, let me quickly jump into 5 facts about fishing for the one, okay? You know, Jesus is a fisherman, and I love that. And he is inviting you and I to fish with him, okay? 5 things that will set you completely free, that will take away the pressure of going up to a random house and knock, and you're shaking like that. Yeah, no. Let me tell you that you are cooperating with the creator of the world, okay? And he has changed your life, and now he wants to use you to change someone else's life, and in the same way, your life will be changed again, okay? Are you ready for these 5 things? Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Okay. 5 things. Are you ready? Fishing for the one is addictive. Okay, I don't know if any one of you knows anything about addictions. Here's what I know about addictions. They don't just kick in unless you start. Can you see it? That is the whole thing with an addiction. And I'm not going to talk about anything else today about this addiction that is wonderful, sharing what has happened in your life, sharing what Jesus has done. And here's the thing with that. That's never going to be something that you or I are just going to wake up in the morning and just get up and stand on our bed and think, today I want to share about Jesus. It's always going to be a small battle. You know why? Because if you don't do it, it's not something that's going to come natural. But as soon as you've started, something happens, and hopefully it comes an addiction in your life to share Jesus with others. Can I tell you a silly story? Is that okay? You know, I told you I grew up in Sweden, and when I was in a Bible school, they, you know, it's a kind of rough thing. They forced me out after 6 months, okay? And they said, you're going to go out two and two in your class, and you're going to go and catch a bus, okay? I lived in Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, so around 2.5 million people in the greater Stockholm area. And they said, you're going to go out and you're going to catch a bus, two and two, and you're going to take turns, and one of you is going to share about Jesus for a minute to a minute and a half in between stops, okay? And then you're gonna, then the other person is gonna do this. And we were like, why? They said, just do it. Just do it. Don't ask questions, just do it. And I remember I was shaking like a leaf. He said, oh my goodness. But I brought my best friend out. I don't know why we chose the time, 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon, downtown Stockholm, rush hour, okay? I don't know why, but you know, I wasn't too wise, wasn't too smart back then, okay? Anyway, I was out there at 4:30. So many buses, so many people, subway buses, boats, commuting trains, taxis, everything were there. Hundreds and thousands of people all over. And we were standing there just waiting for the right bus. Can you see us? Waiting for the right bus. God show us the right bus. Obviously, we stood there for 45 minutes waiting for the right bus. God, which bus have you marked for us? It's going to be the one with flames. Yeah, it's going to be the one with flames. Where is it? Nothing happened. After 45 minutes, we just told ourselves, like, we just have to do this right now. And in came this bus, like, you know, a double accordion bus. I don't know what it's called, but you know, it's two in one. So rush hour is between 90 and 110 people on that bus. And we were just like, this is it. Now it's happening. So we were just about to step onto this bus when my buddy tapped me on my shoulder and he said, I just feel God is saying you should go first. And I'm like, whoa, my buddy hears from God. So strange. Why didn't God tell me? But you know, in Bible school, you don't want to mess with God. Can you see it? So I'm like, okay. By the way, now 15 years later, I know my buddy did not hear from God. That was not God. He was afraid. But anyway, I didn't realize that at that time. So we step onto the bus, the doors closed, can you see it? And I know that we have around a minute and a half until the next stop. It is time right now. So it was so crowded, so my buddy helped me up. Can you see it when he forms his hands and he's like pushing my feet up and so I can climb on him? That's what I did literally to get a view of everyone. And when the bus took off, I called for the attention, and that never happens in Sweden. So all of a sudden, everyone got super quiet. And I'm like staring around. And then for a minute, I'm going for it, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done in my life. It's actually the scariest period of my life because I still have no memories. I don't know about you, but there's a minute of my life that is totally gone. I don't know what happened. I just know what my buddy told me. And he said, yeah, it's pretty good. Okay. I do remember one thing, that the bus driver got on the microphone and said, be quiet in the bus. Shut up. Shut up. Can you hear it? Apparently, no one does this in Sweden, sharing the gospel in that way. Okay. After I was done, I was just like, hope the doors are opening up. And they did. And we took off running. Can you see us? We ran for 3 blocks. Woo! 3 blocks later, we stopped. And I was catching my breath. And then I said, I want to do it again. Can you see what happened? I can't explain it, but I didn't really want to do it before I had done it. But after, something just came over, and I said, I want to do it again. Fishing for the one is addictive. You just have to start. Can you see it? And I'm telling you, you don't have to be a Joyce Meyer, a Billy Graham, or anyone else like that to share what Jesus has done in your life. Because Jesus has changed your life. And when you start to share that, something will happen inside of you. Can you see it? Number two here. Are you with me so far? Fishing for the one is healthy for you. Can you see? Fishing for the one is healthy. You know that perspective, discipline, and joy comes in to play when you are actually sharing the love of Jesus. When you are doing these kind of things, many times anxiety, self-pity, and these kind of things, they just get out of the window when you start to share about Jesus. I'm telling you for real now, this is so good. And many times we don't hear this being preached and taught, but I believe that Jesus knew something and knew a lot more than you and I know. And he knew that if people that are sometimes struggling in things and they're my kids, if they just knew the power of actually sharing the gospel that have changed them earlier, if they would just do that, all of a sudden a lot of mountains in their lives would be overtaken just by that. So let me tell you a small story. A few years ago, it was actually, I'd come home from the mission field and I was on my way back. This was maybe 11, 12 years ago. And for some reason, I fell into a very rough time. I had panic attacks. I can't explain why. I was very depressed for 2-3 weeks, and it was so bad. At one point, I was laying in my bed for 24 hours, just shaking, and didn't know what to do. And how many understands that's not a good thing if you're a missionary just home, and you know, now you're 2 weeks later, you're about to go back to Ethiopia and Africa and preach the gospel. That's not a good place to be. It was terrible, and I was in this mode. And then my mom, who was a praying mom, thank Jesus for that, she prayed with me. At one point, she was kneeling at my bed for 3-4 hours, just praying over me, but nothing seemed to help. So days passed, a week passed, and I was in this state. And all of a sudden, I remember it like yesterday, my mom coming into my room. And this time, she didn't have those, you know, eyes of just, oh, my son, let me help you. There was something else in her eyes. She was done with this. She opened up the door, came in, and I was laying there kind of crying, trying to pray, didn't know what to do. And she said, get up! We're done with this. I said, but mom, it's me. It's your son. I'm not doing good. I don't care. Get up now, and you're going to do exactly what I tell you. And in that moment, I realized, okay, mama is doing, I've never seen her like this. I better do exactly what she's telling me. I don't want to see what's going to happen otherwise. Okay, so she said, get up, get your clothes on, you know, eat something and go out. Go to the city center and sit down on a bench and don't you move away from there until someone has been sitting next to you and you start to share Jesus with them. And I was so shocked. What are you saying, mom? I don't feel good. Like I need someone to pray for me. Can't you just pray for me a couple of more hours? She said, I'm done. You do that. You do it right now. I had no choice. I walked down feeling bad, feeling like anxiety, depressed. Walked down, sat down on the bench, thought to myself, this is craziness. All of a sudden, someone sits down next to me. And I just have to do it because my mama told me to. And I don't want to get back home and say I didn't do what I was supposed to do. So I struck up a conversation. Beginning talking about sports or whatever, music. And it turned into something else. All of a sudden we were talking about Jesus. And I was just sitting there sharing what Jesus had done in my life. A few minutes passed. A few more minutes. After 20, 25 minutes, this man started to cry a little bit. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there ministering to him, and his life is being changed. And I'm getting excited. I don't know what's taking, you know, I don't know what's happening right now, but this is amazing. And I hug him, pray for him. He takes off, and I'm starting to walk home. Now I'm whistling. Now I'm like praising Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful day. I get home and I've totally forgotten about my mountains and issues. What am I saying here? I'm saying there's something about the power of sharing that is healthy for you. Jesus knew something about it, that when you start to share the gospel, something will happen in your life as well. I'm not trying to downplay when you or me are feeling bad and we need encouragement, we need someone to pray for us, we need comfort, we need people in our lives to help us. That is all good. I'm just saying there are times and there's something about the gospel that we actually start to do it, we reap the benefits of it in a mighty way. Can you see it? Number three, let me tell you this quickly here. I'm wrapping up here soon. Number three. Fishing for the one will be your safety net. Let me tell you very quickly about this. Okay, there are some Christians that it almost feels like they have the title of, you know, black belt in spiritual warfare or something like that. They're black belt ninjas and they think they know everything, and they are in a room for 25 hours a day just praying. I'm saying like this: that is not the healthiest environment. Because we were not just made for doing that. If we are not sharing the simple thing that have changed our lives, we will soon become weird Christians. Let me just say it as it is. UFO Christians flying up all over the place, being very unattractive for the people outside the four walls. I'm just saying it. Am I against prayer? No. First of all, I'm a prayer person. I love praying. But I also realize that you have to do something else. Okay? You do have to do prayer, but you do also have to go out and just share Jesus with people. You can do that in a lot of different ways. Helping people, supporting, sharing the gospel on a street corner, or just help, give out a helping hand. I'm just saying, if we don't take the gospel outside of the four walls of the church, we become weird. It's just a fact. It's very unattractive. Sometimes in my own life, when I've been sitting at my office too long, I catch myself, my language is changing. All of a sudden, it's a lot of just praise Jesus, praise God, hallelujah and amen. Every conversation is full of those words. That is a sign to me that, okay, I've spent a little bit too long inside of this office. I haven't really communicated in a while with people outside there, because I don't know if they would understand what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with saying these kind of things. I'm just saying that outside the walls, we have to be able to connect with people as well. You know, this is what we need to do. This is what I tell myself all the time. You should take the gospel outside the four walls and be supernatural. Supernatural. That's the word, supernatural. That's how Jesus was. He was supernatural. Meaning he spoke the language of the people. Yeah. So when I'm speaking the language of the people, I go out and I speak about sports. I speak about the Pirates. I speak about the Steelers, because I love that. I'm not even trying to be someone that I'm not. That's who I am. And from that, I strike up conversations. Can you see? Be supernatural. Supernatural. Huh? That's good. That's good. Number four here. Fishing for the one is easy. What are you saying, Samuel? I'm saying exactly what I'm saying. It's easy. And that's a beautiful thing. Do you know why it's so easy? Because it's not about you or me at all. It's about Jesus. It's about his message. It's about what he has done. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that there is gospel in the power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all men. You see, the gospel, when you share about Jesus, you're not sharing about the story about the gospel. You're sharing the story about the power. You're sharing the power. Just by sharing Jesus, it's powerful. Can I let you know something? Or can I ask you something? Who do you think is the best preacher in the whole world? Who do you think is the best preacher? I'm going to give you the answer here, but I'm going to let you have two more seconds to think of it. Is it Billy? Is it the late Billy Graham? He was a great preacher. Or is it someone else like that? Who is it? Let me tell you, because I think no one can answer this question, but I'm going to give you the answer. The best gospel preacher in the world, that's you. When you are being yourself, that's the best gospel preacher in the world. How do I know? Because that's the way it is. When you are being you, you are the best gospel preacher in the world. You can reach someone that I can't do. Even though I'm preaching all over the world, there are people in your life that I can never reach. Why? Because I might not speak the same language. I might not connect with them the way you connect with them. The worst gospel preacher in the whole world, that's me when I'm trying to be someone I'm not. Can you see it? The best gospel preacher in the world is you being you. So I'm just setting you free right now. You don't have to try to be something you're not. You just have to share what Jesus has done in your life. Can you see it? Number five, the last thing here, before we are praying. Fishing for the one is life. Fishing for the one is living life. I'll tell you a short story here before we end. You know, in Israel, there are two big portions of waters, okay? There's up in the north in Galilee, it's the Sea of Galilee, okay? Jesus did a lot of his miracles and he met a lot of people up there. Can you see it? Up north. That Sea of Galilee is full of life. It's full of fish. It's full of growth. It's full of beauty. It's full of life. Okay, then from there, there's a river called the Jordan River that Jesus was baptized in that river and other things happened there. And that Jordan River goes into another portion of water called the Dead Sea. That's completely opposite of the Sea of Galilee. It's dead there. No fish, no nothing, no growth, just sand. However, it's a popular spot because you can go there and just get into the water and you will float. Okay? Whoever you are, you will float because the salt level is so high. And because of that, no life can exist there. Okay? So you have one lake up in north that is full of life, alive, and then you have one lake in the south that is dead. You know what the difference is? The difference is that the Sea of Galilee up in north has an inflow and then it has an outflow. But the Dead Sea has only an inflow. Nothing is going out of that lake, out of that sea. That's why it's dead. And this is a powerful picture of you and I and how we need to live our lives. If we only take in, if we only get good teaching and things like that, that's great. However, we can become spiritual fat at one point because we were designed to actually have an outflow as well. Jesus said, give freely what you have received freely. And when you do that, all of a sudden life will come into you. It doesn't mean that you're a perfect person, or it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. You just have to need to create an inflow and an outflow. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Can you come up and start to play a little bit? Because we're going to pray here right now. Can we do this together? Can we stand up? Can we stand up together? And you can close your eyes here very quickly. I just want to start to pray a little bit over you. And I share this morning because I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to share this, and some of you needed this. And this is not another one of those preachings that says if you don't go out and preach Jesus and shout about Jesus on the streets, you're not good. That's nothing like that. We want to be supernatural. Okay, if you don't feel like shouting on the streets, then don't do that. Please don't do that, because you need to be you. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus knew that there was power and there's something about giving out what is inside of you that will make you feel good, that will make you become healthy, and you will also see another person's life changed. Let's close our eyes right now. Here's before I move on, I just want to ask you very quickly. If you are here this morning and you've never ever received Jesus Christ or never made him the Lord and Savior of your life, maybe you're here and you have attended many times, or maybe you're here for the first time, but right now you feel like, Jesus, I need to give you my life, my whole life. Maybe some of you are giving the 85% or almost everything. Here's what Jesus wants. He wants all of you. Why? Because then he can give you everything that he is. Okay, there's something called sin in the Word of God, and that is when we turn away from God and we kind of want to try to do everything by ourselves. The Word of God says that you know sin is everyone is affected by sin. Okay, and everyone has lost the glory of God because of this sin. Here's the good news today, that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He died on that cross. He was dead for 3 days, but then he rose again and he's alive today. On that cross, he dealt with sin because I could not pay for my sin. You could not pay for it. So right now, if you're having a backpack full of guilt and shame and sin in your life, know this, Jesus wants to remove that backpack from you right now. But one thing you need to do, you need to give him the access to your life. You need to say today, Jesus, I give you the key of my life, okay? If you're here, I'm going to do this very, very, very quickly right now. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I want you to shoot up your hand when I say 3. If you want to say like this, Jesus, today I'm going to give you my whole life, then I want you to shoot up your hand when I say 3. Are you ready? 1. Don't think about the person next to you as you're standing there closing your eyes. Don't let another person make a decision for you today. 2. Are you ready? 3. Raise up your hand. Beautiful. There are so many hands going up. Close your eyes. That's amazing. Keep your hand up. That's beautiful. Right now, can we do all? We can all do this. You can take down your hand and let's open up our eyes. Can we do this? It was probably 6, 7 hands going up. Beautiful thing. Let's do this. The whole church. Can we just give our lives to Jesus now? And let's back up the ones that want to say this for the first time or come back to Jesus. But the Word of God says that, you know, when we confess Jesus with our mouth and we believe in our hearts, then we will be saved. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So let's say this after me. Can we do this? Let's say it out loud now. Say, Father God. Let's try one more time. Father God. This morning, I've heard your gospel. And Jesus, I believe in you. I want you, Jesus. Take my sin. Forgive me. Restore me. Help me. From this moment on, I make you my Lord and my Savior. Now put your hand on your heart and continue to say after me. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to follow Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the power of God is inside of me now. Say, thank you, Jesus. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Can we give it up? Can we give it up for the people that took this decision? This is beautiful. Hallelujah. We're going to pray a few minutes right now, but I really want to pray over you before we go into our last worship song. Is that okay? I'll do this very quickly. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to respond to this message in a practical way, okay? I don't want you to walk out of this place and feel like, oh, another thing that I have to do as a Christian. No, I want you to walk out of this place and think like this. I can go and fish with Jesus. Together with him, he can help me, he can support me, he's there. I want you to walk out of this place thinking, I have something that someone else will benefit from, and I'm the only one that can give them that. I can give them Jesus. And when we start to do that, all of a sudden the power of God is coming up in our lives. Okay, put your hands out, each and every one. Oh, and you can close your eyes if you want to. I will just ask you very quickly. If you're here and you feel like, oh, I want to respond to this. I feel like I want to make myself known right now in front of heaven. I want to say to Jesus, I want to fish together with you. I want to share what you've done in my life. If that is you, when I say 3 now, I want you to shoot up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Shoot up your hand. That's a beautiful thing. Because I believe as I'm starting to pray right now and you are praying, the power of God and the grace of God will come upon you. Okay. Okay, let's pray together. Father, I pray right now. I pray for each and everyone in this room, in this church. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given a story to each and every one of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are not just leaving us alone. You are not just sending us out by ourselves, but you are there every step of the way. Thank you, Jesus, for the promise in the Word of God that you will always be with us. So I thank you for that. And I thank you, Jesus, that each and every one of us in this place, in City Reach Church this morning, we have a story that is worth sharing. I thank you, Jesus, and I pray right now that this coming week, God, you will set us up. You will set me up with people. You will put people in my way that you have placed there so that I can share the simple things that you have done in my life that is just a powerful thing, and people can be affected by that. I pray that you will do that for each and every one of us. Oh, place people in our paths this coming week so we can share the amazing gospel story that you have changed, you know, that you have placed in our lives and you have changed us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, let's worship together now. Thank you.